الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Continuing with the book by our Shaykh Salim al-Hilali, Maqami'u al-Shaytan fi Dawa al-Kitab wa Sunnah al-Sahiha, the subduing of Shaytan in the light of the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. Last week we've covered the story of Shaytan, la'anahu Allah, and his goals and objectives. And basically it's one to make the people disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobey Him, to stop the people from fulfilling their purpose in life of worshipping their Lord tabarak wa ta'ala. This is the program of Shaytan. And Shaytan, la'anahu Allah, has footsteps, as the Shaykh Salim al-Hilali hafadhuhullah details in his book, and we went through them, and they were forgetfulness. That forgetfulness is one of the means that Shaytan uses to help him fulfill his goal of leading the people astray. Among the footsteps of Shaytan is that he gradually wins people over. That he doesn't do it all of a sudden, but that he gradually wins people over with his art of persuasion. The way he does this is by one of two ways, and that is either by beautifying something to the believers, beautifying the sin or disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaytan is able to persuade the person gradually to the deviance that he wants them to be on. And the other way is that Shaytan, la'anahu Allah, puts fear in the heart of believers. He makes the people afraid of obedience. He makes the people afraid of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of their fear for the one with no power, la'anahu Allah, people are led astray. Among the footsteps of Shaytan is that he makes it easy to do disobedience and easy to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he comes to the people. Shaytan la'anahu Allah, among his footsteps, is that he encourages, rather he commands people to disobey Allah. He commands people to disobey Allah and to disbelieve in Allah. And among the footsteps of Shaytan is that he's constantly pushing people to do sin. As the first one was to command them to do sin, and then here he's encouraging them and pushing them and urging them on to be sinners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the footsteps of Shaytan is that he leaves the people in confusion. He leaves you lost. You don't know what's going on. So you can use that as an excuse to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know. Somebody said we should do this. The other brother said do that. Someone said do this. The next person said do that. I don't know. I'm going to do what I like to do. Shaitan will have you in confusion where you use your confusion as a proof to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Allah, la ilaha illa hu, has commanded us to believe in him and to worship him and to obey him, and he hasn't left his deen in a state of confusion, but he's made it easy for everyone to understand so that when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they won't have an excuse by saying, the devil made me do it. To do wrong, but I told you I didn't have any power, and your Lord tabarak wa ta'ala promised you that if you obeyed him and believed in him that you would have Jannah, and then if you disobeyed him that you have the hellfire. And the promise of your Lord was truthful, but you disobeyed your Lord and you followed me. I'm innocent of what you did. This is the devil, la'anahu Allah ta'ala alayhi, ash-shaytan. And these were the footsteps Salim al-Hilali hafadahullah mentioned. The next portion of his book, the Shaykh mentions that Shaytan has means or actual ways to make the people disbelieve in or disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was contemplating on these two sections of his book, معرفة خطوات الشيطان and then معرفة وسائل الشيطان. And I was just thinking that the literal translation is the footsteps of Shaytan and the ways or the means that Shaytan has, or knowing them. And it seems that the Shaykh was meaning by the footsteps that which is somewhat indirect or something more subtle. And by the ways, he means something more physical or outward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And maybe after you hear what the Shaykh hafidhahullah has to present, maybe someone could have a better saying or approach to defining what the Shaykh is trying to get across. He begins with saying that one of the means or the ways of Shaytan is by arguing and saying that about Allah which you have no knowledge of. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hajj, verses 3 and 4, after I say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytan ar-rajim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, verses 3 and 4 says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّبِعُ كُلَّ شَيْطَانٍ مَرِيدٍ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ تَوَلَّاهُ فَأَنَّهُ يُضِلُّهُ وَيَهْدِيهِ إِلَى عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us one of the means and one of the ways that Shaytan uses to lead the people astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as translated, and from among the people are those who argue or debate concerning Allah, about Allah, with no knowledge. And they follow every disobedient shaytan or corrupt, evil shaytan. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us one of the ways of Shaytan is what he does is he makes the people argue about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his religion without any knowledge. And this is how Shaitan gets you to follow his way, by encouraging you to argue and to debate about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his religion of Islam without any knowledge, without any revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your own desires, you follow them, thus following Shaytan as he's encouraging the people to argue and debate about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any knowledge. And if we studied Islam, as we've covered in Imam Dawood's class, inshallah ta'ala, in Aqidah we found that the deviant sects, one of their biggest problems was in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the description or the characteristics or the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we saw Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in his book emphasizing the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the characteristics or attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the qualities of Allah. We found that Shaykh al-Islam was putting a lot of importance on this because the people had went astray in this issue, because they began to talk about Allah, to describe Allah by that which he hasn't described himself by. And they began to negate from Allah that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described himself by. Shaytan had used this way to have them debate and argue about issues without any knowledge, and that they only followed Shaytan, or the evil Shaytan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to say, and it has been written or decreed that whoever follows him, Shaytan, and one of his ways, whoever follows him, then indeed he will lead him astray. Whoever follows Shaytan, his footsteps, the means that he uses to make people disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobey Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and not to fulfill their purpose in life of worshipping their Lord tabarak wa ta'ala, when they follow Shaytan, it has been decreed that he will lead them astray or misguide them, and he will lead them to the punishment of the fire. This is Shaytan la'anahullah, and we have to be very careful, as in America we have been fooled into thinking that doctor's degrees and master's degrees and particular positions in society qualify us to speak about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing qualifies us to speak of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than revelation. Qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said such and such. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said such and such. The companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do this. They used to understand this particular ayah this way. They used to understand that particular, they used to practice that particular hadith that way. This is what qualifies someone to speak about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he's a garbage man or a doctor, a lawyer or an engineer, whatever he may be. What will qualify him to speak of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about his Lord is that he has knowledge of revelation, knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. And brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to be very careful of this way of Shaytan, as we know that whoever earns these degrees that the society encourages people to earn and encourages people to look up, doctor such and such, doctor such and such, we feel that this permits people to speak about the religion of Islam because they're an intellectual, because they're a bright individual. These aren't the things that qualify someone to speak about Islam. And whoever does it will be following Shaytan by speaking about this religion without any knowledge. And we have to be careful of debating, as sometimes when some of the knowledge is coming to the people, they take a little bit and they go with it. And I hate to use this phrase because I don't want to make people laugh at showing the seriousness of this, but like we say, you give them a rope, you want to be a cowboy. This is the religion of Islam. We need to know where we need to stop, and we need to know how far we can go. We know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ballighu anni walau aya." Preach from what you hear from me, even if it's only one piece of information. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by this hadith is giving the open license to anyone to say whatever they like about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone. بلغوا عني ولو آية. Preach about me whatever you know, even if it's only one little piece of information. One ayah from the Quran, one hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one portion of this deen, whatever you have, speak. And many of us, we misunderstand this hadith and we just take it to say it's an open license to talk about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no knowledge. We have one little piece of knowledge and then we want to keep going and going and going to the point where we know we don't have the knowledge of. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that hadith continued to say after he said بلغوا عني ولو آية وحدثوا عن بني إسرائيل ولا حرج ومن تق وَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. After the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, preach about me what you know, even if it's only one piece of information, he went on to say, you can relate the narrations that you got from the Bani Israel, and there's no problem with that. And then he went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever lies about me intentionally has a seat prepared for him in the hellfire. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is winding that up. Preach about me whatever you can, even if it's only one ayah, one piece of information. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ending that hadith up with whoever lies on me, to show that if you don't have the knowledge, if you don't have the proper understanding, then you can't preach the religion of Islam. You can't preach that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached to humanity, because you don't have it. And if you continue, it will be that which will lead you to the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his safety. This issue of arguing and debating and speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I just can't emphasize it enough. And I can't say how much we need to be careful not to fall into saying about this deen what we don't know. As we have examples of people who came before us, namely our Prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham, ibn Abd Munaf ibn Qusay, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he didn't speak about this religion except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. As Allah says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak on his own desires. He only speaks from revelation revealed to him. Many times people came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the man who was coming to make the Umrah, and he had a hooded cloak on, and he was really perfumed or oiled down. He wanted to know, was it permissible or is it okay to make Umrah in this state? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was silent, didn't answer his question, kept quiet. And he's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until after a time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where is that man? Bring him back to me. Are you the one that questioned me such and such? Allah revealed to me to do such and such. Take off your cloak, because you can't wear a hooded garment when you're making the Umrah, and wash your perfume off of your body 3 times. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this example, and there are many examples where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't answer his companions until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him whatever Allah chose to reveal to him. As I think we've mentioned before, Suratul Ikhlas, when the people came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, what are you calling us to? And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm calling you to Allah. They said, Allah, what's his lineage? Is he made out of gold, silver, wood, copper, metal? Who is this Allah you calling us to? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was silent until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. So this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. And definitely you find in the Messenger of Allah the finest example. The example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he didn't speak about Allah or the religion of Allah except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him of, and we need to be careful of it. And we also need to be careful of saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me. As to say, I'm only going to say that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, and He has revealed, as we know, for certainty here in America, we had some imams walking around, and I remember like yesterday, I was a kafir, but I heard a teach of an imam who was a Muslim, who was supposed to be for us, the African Americans, and he was saying, yesterday I was walking down the street, I was about to go to the store, and all of a sudden, Allah revealed to me, don't go to that store, go this way. And I remember later on, after I had accepted Islam, that people were saying, see, he's a liar. No one revealed anything to him. And anyone who thinks they had some type of inspiration is a liar. He was telling the truth when he said he had revelation. He was speaking the truth when he had revelation. And we're going to see what type of revelation he has. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. Indeed, the shayateen, the devils, they reveal revelation to their close friends so that they can use this to argue with you. And wallahi, until today, you see the people that want to argue with the Muslims most, the people who follow the people who have revelation coming to them, the most knowledgeable man on the planet, the scholar of North America, the one who was sent to us, the supreme wisdom. Shaitan reveals revelation, inspires his close friends so that they can argue with you. You following that Arab Islam? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was faced with something similar to what we were faced with, as a man came to him and said, Ya ibn Abbas, za'ama Abu Ishaq annahu awha ilayhi al-layla. Faqala ibn Abbas, sadaqa. Fanafartu. Waqultu, yaqulu ibn Abbas, sadaqa. فقال ابن عباس هما وحيان وحي الله ووحي الشيطان فوحي الله إلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ووحي الشيطان إلى أوليائه ثم قرأ وإن الشياطين ليوحون إلى أوليائهم ليجادلوكم. He said to ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما, أبو إسحاق thinks that revelation was given to him last night or this night. Abdullah ibn Abbas said he spoke the truth. The man just sat back like, wait a minute, Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying he spoke the truth, Abu Ishaq, when he said revelation came to him. And of course this is after our prophet and messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said revelation came to him, and Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying he spoke the truth. Abdullah ibn Abbas said revelation is of two types, or inspiration is of two types, the revelation of Allah and the revelation of Shaytan, or the inspiration of Shaytan. As for the revelation of Allah, it's to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as for the revelation of Shaytan, it's to his close friends. And then he read the verse that goes as translated, and the shayateen, or the devils, inspire or send revelation to their close friends so that they can argue with him. Shaytan la'anahullah, in many verses in the Quran, is calling us to speak about Allah, or to speak about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any knowledge. as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He commands us to do so by saying, عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 169, indeed he, referring to shaitan, indeed he only calls you to do bad and indecencies and to say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. So shaitan, la'anahullah, among his means is to make us say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the religion of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, without any knowledge. Among the ways of shaitan and the means that shaitan uses to lead people astray or to fulfill his purpose is instigation, that he instigates between the Muslims to fight one another, to hate one another, to do bad to one another, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Isra, verse number 53, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوًا مُبِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I command you to say to my servants who say that which is best, indeed shaytan instigates between yourselves, among yourselves. And indeed, shaitan is a clear or manifest and open enemy to humanity. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that shaitan is an instigator to start something between the hearts or between the Muslims so as to lead them astray from their purpose in life of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among the ways that he uses to instigate or to put hatred and enmity among us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 91, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقَعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسَرِ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُم مُّنْتَهُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shaytan only wants to put hatred and enmity between yourselves or among yourselves by means of khamar and maysir. Khamar or alcoholic beverages, and maysir, gambling. And khamar, as we're going to say that this is alcoholic drink, khamar, that isn't implying that anything that isn't an alcoholic drink isn't haram, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says khamar or alcoholic beverages, and we might say that this is an alcoholic beverage, so it's okay, as I heard that some Muslims used to do by getting high with reefer and stuff, saying that it's natural and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only prohibited us khamar. And a khamr is an intoxicating drink or alcoholic beverage. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in authentic hadith says, كُلُّ مُسْكِرٍ خَمْرٌ وَكُلُّ خَمْرٍ حَرَامٌ. That everything that intoxicates is khamr. And every khamr is haram. Everything that intoxicates is khamr, and every khamr is haram. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't meaning specifically or only alcoholic beverages, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to everything that intoxicates. Shaitan only wants to cause hatred and enmity among yourselves by means of alcoholic beverages and intoxicants and gambling, and to prevent you from the remembrance of Allah and from Salah. So won't you leave this alone? So won't you leave alone this khamr and this gambling? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy on us and to free us from gambling, as gambling is so widespread in this country that it has been made compulsory on the believers to gamble. It has been made compulsory on the believers to gamble in this country of America, where we can practice Islam any way we like to. What I'm referring to is insurance. And insurance is a gamble, and these disbelievers make it incumbent upon us to gamble if we want to drive a car, or maybe own a house, and whatever else they force this gambling on us. And for this, I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free us from the plot of the people who want us to disobey our Lord. So Shaytan uses this gambling to create hatred and enmity among ourselves, just as he used khamr. Won't you stop using it? So among the ways of Shaytan is that he instigates us to hate one another and to be against one another. And we have to be very careful of this so that we can fulfill our purpose of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by believing in Him. And a part of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in authentic hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That none of you truly believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us how to believe in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by loving for one another what we love for ourselves. But Shaytan la'anahu Allah wants us to hate for our brothers what we love for ourselves, and to cause hatred and enmity among the believers, to have us arguing and debating and fighting and carrying on, so that he can prevent us from remembering Allah, prevent us from the salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising us to leave this alone. Among the ways of Shaytan is, or the means that Shaytan uses to lead people astray, is by extravagance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Isra, verses 26 and 27. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I prohibit you with the strongest prohibition from being extravagant. And I prohibit you with the strongest prohibition of being extravagant. Indeed, the extravagant are the brothers of the devils of the shayateen, and the shaytan is indeed, ya rahmatullah, and the shaytan is indeed ungrateful to his Lord. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that among the means of shaytan is extravagance, that he uses extravagance to lead us astray. And I had heard on the radio before one of these young rappers. He wasn't rapping, he was being interviewed. As one of the ways coming up from among the ways of Shaytan is the other thing what that rapper was doing, as we're going to see inshallah ta'ala. They asked him, what do you want? What does he want? And what's his goal or ambitions in life from this rapping? He said to buy two of those Lexuses. That's his purpose. That's his purpose for rapping. Why you want to rap? So I can get me two Lexuses. Make my money, get paid, buy me a nice car to live in. And unfortunately, the Muslims have been affected by this plot of Shaytan, by this means and way, just like he has. We think that it's cool. We think that it's something to be extravagant. If we had a car, one of the finest cars that money could buy, or one of the best houses that money could buy, or that we wear the finest clothes that money can buy, we think that we've achieved something. MashaAllah, I made it. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. We were saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-Isra, verses 26 and 27, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبَذِيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. And I prohibit you with the strongest prohibition to be extravagant. Indeed, the extravagant are the brothers of the shayateen, and shaytan is ungrateful to his Lord. We're saying that we have to be careful at letting shaytan, la'anahullah, use this means of to lead us from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is to be happy or to look up to extravagance. As we were saying with the examples of that boy trying to aspire to get too Alexis, because that's something praiseworthy. And the more extravagant you are, the more praise people praise you. And I was thinking of that too on my way to the masjid when I saw this black jaguar. And you know how you look at it. And you just like it. And everyone knows that the jaguar is as big a waste of money as anybody could waste their money because of the performance of that car. But it's just the status, it's just that extravagant. Eats up all the gas, costs a lot of money, and always has to be fixed. And I can't wait to get one. Or you see such and such as if they're successful. And we do that to ourselves, and we create an atmosphere for our children and for the brothers and sisters to think that, mashallah, you're moving up. Among the ways and the means of shaytan is to name things by other than their name. To name things by other than their names, as Shaytan himself did to Adam, when he says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجْرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. I see somebody's Mahsan Khan. Taha 121. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Taha 120. Here, alright, we'll begin with the beginning of the verse and then to the point where the Shaykh was using to show that among the means of Shaytan is to name something or to name things by other than their proper name, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as Muslim Khan translates, then Shaytan whispered to him saying, O Adam, shall I lead you to the tree of eternity? Should I lead you to the tree of eternity and to a kingdom that will never waste away? Here Shaytan la'natullahi ta'ala alayhi is calling Adam to that which will and did get him kicked out of Jannah. Shaytan is saying, shall I lead you to a tree of eternity and to a kingdom that will never waste? Here Shaytan is naming a sin in a beautiful way so as to entice Adam. So come on. Because if you name something by its proper name, if you name something by its proper name to show the evilness of that thing, then people could take more heed to it as opposed to when you use a lighter language, a more beautified language, so as to lead the people into doing wrong, to being disobedient and disbelieving to their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the thing isn't really named by its proper name.
The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the authentic hadith, said that there will be a group of people from this ummah who will name things by other than their names, so that they can lead themselves astray and lead the people astray, the Muslims astray. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيَسْتَحِلَّنَّ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِيَ الْخَمْرَ بِسْمٍ يُسَمُّونَهَا إِيَّاهُ. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be a group of people from my ummah who will make al-khamr, or intoxicant, permissible, naming it by other than their name. Someone told me the name that they named it, the group from among this ummah, but I forgot the name of it. Maybe somebody can remember or tell me how to pronounce it. It's that Chinese drink. Shurushi. Su, whatever it is. Shurushi. Huh? Inshallah, everyone got the message, because even I learned it, what the brothers were talking about, though I can't say it. The brother asked about ginseng. I don't know about that. At any rate, intoxicating beverages and intoxicants have been named by other than their name, by other than their proper name, so as to have the people into thinking that it's okay. And the Shaykh, Hafizahullah, he was given examples in Arabic, as they call it, mashrubat al-ruhiyya. They call it, I think we call it too in English, spirit, or something, you know, to lift your spirit. And he mentioned some other names, umul afrah, or that which gives you glad tidings or something like that, makes you happy. Yeah. So here people use things by other than their proper names. And this is one of the ways that Shaytan uses to lead the people astray. As riba has been also one of the things that in these days and times have been called named by other than its name. And in Arabic, you know, they don't use the word riba on a lot of these transactions at the bank. They call it sa'ida, or some of the other names that they may have for it, to show that it's not riba. And some of the brothers know, as we were tricked in Medina, when we asked the people who want to open a banking account, no riba. They said, no riba? We said, be sure. Say wallahi. Wallahi no riba. Afterwards, we realized on the bank account some extra money. We went back. What is this extra money? I thought we agreed that there was going to be no riba. I said, there's no riba. Where's the riba? I said, that extra money. I said, no, no. That's fa'ida. That's beneficial for you. You kept your money with us. We hooked you up. She's talking about riba. Riba's haram. That's fa'ida. So when they named their fa'ida, it's halal, because it's not called riba anymore. And this is one of the ways that Shaytan uses to trick the believers, by teaching them to name things by other than their proper name, so that the people think it's okay. Here, I think we know in the States that these non-alcoholic beverages, many of them, they have up to 2% alcohol. Or I don't know if the law has changed or whatever, but they have a small percentage of alcohol in them, and they have the ability, or the freedom from the government, to call it non-alcoholic so long as the content is under a certain percentage. Under 5% now? Allahu Akbar. When we're in Medina, they had the same stuff. They called it Musi. They said, Akhi, how can you be drinking that khamr? Wallah, it's not khamr, it's musi. Yeah, it's not khamr, this is musi. If it was khamr, I wouldn't be drinking that khamr. It's haram. And then they say, see, non-alcoholic. Anyway, shaitan gets us to name the thing by other than their proper name, so as not to see the severity of that. Like many people say, you out there fornicating and stuff. May Allah protect us. I'm not fornicating. That's my girl. I live with her. I pay the rent. I take care of her. Fornicating, she ain't with nobody but me, and I ain't with nobody but her. And unfortunately, even some of the Muslim lands have went this far. If you think that that's something too far-fetched, here, the Muslims in the Muslim lands have made it permissible to do that so long as it's boycott. It's making it haram on us to have friends. So shaytan la'anahullah, he uses these means to have people to name things by other than their name, so as to make such and such permissible. There were some examples I wish I had to mention, but they kind of slipped my mind of the things that we do here in America, that we name them by other than their name to make that thing permissible for us to do in Islam. Anyway, we have to be careful nowadays, and this is why we found some of our shuyukh, especially our Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, that when he was questioned about particular types of sales nowadays, that he doesn't go by the name. When you ask him, paying in installments. Financing?
Nah.
Look, you say, I want to buy that car for you. It costs $4,000. But I'm going to pay you $500 a month. So at the end, for a year. At the end of the year, it's going to come up to more than $4,000. Anyway, they call that Beit al-Taqfif. Those people, the Sheikh, rahimahullah, when he's questioned, is such and such permissible? He says, I don't know yet. Tell me what you mean. Meaning, show me the transaction, then I'll give the verdict. And it's important on us, some of us, that if we have some knowledge of this deen and we want to ask some questions, answer questions for the people, we have to be certain that we know what the people are saying, because people have named things by other than their name. And when we give that verdict, we might be making something haram, halal or halal, haram, by name, because the people named it by other than their name. So for this reason, it's important for everyone to know exactly the type of transaction that's taking place in some of this buying and selling, so that we can know if something haram or halal or whatever. At any rate, this is one of the ways that shaytan la'anahullah ta'ala alayhi, he uses to lead the people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the ways that shaytan la'anahullah ta'ala he uses is nakedness and the displaying of the awrah to lead the people away, just as he did to our father Adam alayhi salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 27, Ya bani Adam la yaftinannakum ash-shaytan kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannah yanzi'u anhuma libasahuma liyuriyahuma sawatihima إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم إنا جعلنا الشياطين أولياء للذين لا يؤمنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse in the Quran is showing us one of the means of shaytan, and that is that he uses this nakedness or the exposing of the awrah to lead the people astray. As he led our father Adam astray, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O children of Adam, don't let shaytan be a fitna for you. As he got your father, your mother and father kicked out of Jannah, he called them to take off their clothing to show one another their private parts. Indeed, he sees you, him and his partners, his tribe, from where you don't see him. Indeed, the Shayateen have been made close friends for those people who do not believe. So here we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us that Shaytan la'anahullah, among the ways that he uses to lead the people astray, is by nakedness. He makes it seem nice to us to be naked and indecent, thus leading people from the path of Allah. And the women have been tested with this, maybe more so than the men. As Shaytan la'anahullah, he'll entice the women to say it's hot outside, as if no one knows it's 100 degrees. Whatever you put on, when you go outside, you're going to be hot, whether you're naked or you have on clothes. It's 100 degrees outside. It was in Surah Al-A'raf 27. So Shaytan, he gets the women to say it's too hot to take off the clothing. And then after they take it off and take it off at work, or I'm in the marketplace, or I'm going to fill out a place here, or whatever way Shaytan uses to either beautify the task to those women, or to put fear in their hearts from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once he gets them like this, and then you call them back to the truth, not only do they don't want to accept the truth, but it causes them to almost disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as disbelieving in the ayat of Allah and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can lead a Muslim into kufr. So at first, Shaytan la'anahullah, he's just winning the women over by exposing their awrat and to be naked, and then that will lead them into disbelief. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our women among the most covered women on the face of the earth. Among the ways of Shaytan, and let me just summarize the ways that we've covered, and that is that he uses arguing and saying about Allah that which we have no knowledge of, and he uses instigation or inciting the Muslims to hate one another, to have enmity and hatred in the hearts of the believers. Among the ways of Shaytan is extravagance and naming things by other than their proper name, and to have the people expose their awrah or to be naked. The last two ways that the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, there are two ways that I don't think I have the ability to get into right now, but I'll mention them so as not to seem as if I'm hiding that which the Shaykh hafizahullah brought in his book, but there are issues that I can't handle at this time. They are, he says, that al-ghina, or music, is among the ways that Shaytan uses to lead the people astray. And the other one he had is changing the creation of Allah. Maybe inshallah ta'ala, in maybe some of the classes to come, or whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy, if he does, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his success and for his help, that maybe I could get into a little more detail of the issue of how Shaytan uses music to lead the people astray, and how he uses changing the creation of Allah to lead people astray. But for music, I mean, subhanallah, we listen to it, and we were, many of us, just kafirs a little while ago, and we know what that music used to do to us when we used to listen to it, and alhamdulillah, who has given us the success to leave off at least that means from among the means that Shaytan uses to lead the people astray. As far as changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to have something, is that when we see all of this plastic surgery, if this isn't the land of plastic surgery, that people want to just change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they aren't satisfied with the one who created them in ahsan al-taqweem, in the best of forms. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that he has created his creation However, the people want to change the creation and not be pleased with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, so as to make them disbelievers. The Shaykh hafizahullah, after he has laid out the footsteps of shaytan and the means that shaytan la'anahullah uses to lead the believers astray, the Shaykh goes on to show us that which would subdue or fight off the shaytan, and he begins with sincerity. That if we're sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah would give us the strength to fight off the devil, shaytan, la'anahullah. The Shaykh hafizahullah, he goes back to mention the ayat that we mentioned earlier when we were showing the plot or the program of shaytan la'anahullah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hajr, verses 39 and 40, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إلا عبادك منهم المخلصون. المخلصين. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that shaytan's plan, his goal and objective to lead the believers astray, has no effect on those people who are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says, say, my Lord, or excuse me, he said, my Lord, by that which you have led me astray, I will beautify for them that which is in the earth, and then I will lead all of them astray, except those among them who are sincere. Is that a good translation? Yes. Except those who are sincere. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that shaitan will use his tricks and his plots and his beautifying of things to lead the people astray, and he will be successful except for the servants of Allah who are sincere. So sincerity is the way that we can subdue the shaytan la'anahullah, as Allah mentions in Surah Al-Sad, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Shaytan la'anahullah is saying to Allah, by your might for your power, I will lead all of them astray except for your servants among them who are sincere. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is also showing us that shaytan has no power. That shaytan la'anahullah has no power over those servants of Allah who are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this issue of sincerity, it isn't an easy issue. It's an issue that we always have to remind ourselves of. It's a point that we have to contemplate on in every single deed, every single statement, and every single belief that we hold, as among the conditions for our deeds, our beliefs, and our statements to be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that they must fulfill two conditions. And the first of that condition is that we must say and believe sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sincerity is important. It covers every single thing that we can do in our lives. If it's done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with the religion of Allah, then that deed has the ability of being acceptable in the sight of Allah. And if not, then it doesn't have the chance of being accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sincerity, it's very important for the believers, because it's one of the major ways that we can use to subdue the shaytan and to fight him off and to be among the successful, among those who won the battle between human beings and shaytan, if that's proper to say. Among the ways to subdue the shaytan is to be in a jama'ah. To be a jama'ah is one of the ways that we can use to fight off the shaytan, so we should be eager. We should be working hard at trying to be a jama'ah so that we can fight off the shaytan, la'anahu Allah, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to be in a jama'ah in our salah, so that we can fight off the shaytan, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith collected by Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i and others in them too, and it's authentic. He says, مَا مِن ثَلَاثَ فِي قَرْيَةٍ وَلَا بَدْوٍ لَا تُقَامُ فِيهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَّا اسْتَحْوَذَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ فَإِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُ الذِّئْبُ مِنَ الْغَدَمِ الْقَاصِيَةِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there aren't three people in a city or in the, I don't know, the open area, the desert area or the open area away from everything. There aren't three people in a city or in this open area except that, and they don't, and let me try that again. There aren't three people in a city or in an open area like a desert area or empty farmland area. There aren't three people in a city or in this open area that do not establish the salah except that shaitan will have conquered them. So I command you to be a jama'ah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I command you to be a jama'ah, because indeed the fox, the wolf, indeed the wolf gets the sheep that has strayed far away from the group. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that the jama'ah is a way to protect us from the shaytan. So he commanded us to be a jama'ah, and we should think about that on which street we live. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. What street do we live on, and how many Muslims are there, and do we have a jama'ah? And if we don't have that jama'ah, then the shaitan will be able to overpower us and to conquer us, just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us in this hadith. So we should be a jama'ah. And this, the Messenger, and here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indirectly showing us the importance of being together where we live, and that wherever we live we have to stay together so that the shaitan cannot overpower us. And the only way we can do that is by being a jama'ah. So I encourage myself and the brothers that we need to live closer together and more closer together and more closer together, because the fox only gets the sheep that's farther away from the group. The brother's asking, is it good for us, some of the brothers that may be single, that they can get together and to buy an apartment? Families, that a group of families can get together and try to rent out or purchase or whatever, a whole apartment building, so that we could be a jama'ah. I mean, subhanAllah, of course, that would be exactly what we need to do, inshallah ta'ala. And whatever means that someone can use, whether getting families together or individuals together or what have you, to bring us closer to be a jama'ah, then we can see that by this, the shaitan will be a failure in trying to lead us astray. And we need to think about this, many of us, as many of us were raised in the cities, and we see how beautiful it is to move out to the suburbs to chill out. I've been in the brick all my life. All I know is concrete. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with a nice job and good money. I need to go where I can have some space. Nice house, nice lawn, my children can run, and we're happy to be far away from the Muslims. The shaitan can overpower you in the beauty of those suburbs. And all we have to do is look at the Muslims who seem to enjoy themselves in the suburbs, and to look at the deen that they have being by themselves away from the Muslims who just happen to be in the city. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us one of the ways to subdue the shaitan is by being a jama'ah, and being a jama'ah in our salah. So much so that if it was only three of us, wherever we happen to be, we should form that jama'ah so that we can be successful in subduing the shaitan. Another way among the ways of being a jama'ah is when we're traveling, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith collected by Imam Abu Dawood and others, الرَّاكِبُ شَيْطَان وَالرَّاكِبَانِ شَيْطَان نَانِ وَالثَّلَاثَةٌ رَكَب أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger of Allah in this authentic hadith says that one rider is a shaytan and two riders are two shaytans, but three riders or travelers is a group, or is actually riders, or something like that. Here, and I'll try to explain, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is discouraging us from traveling as one person or two people, but rather he's encouraging us to be three or more, so as to have a jama'ah, so as we can be together to subdue shaytan, because the shaytan is closer to those who are farther from the jama'ah. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that when we travel we should be a jama'ah so as to subdue the shaytan and to keep him from overpowering us. Also among the ways, and this is among the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today has blessed us to fulfill in subduing the shaytan, and we ask Allah to continue to give us his tawfiq, his success and subduing the shaytan, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this authentic hadith, عن أبي ثعلب الخشني قال كان الناس إذا نزلوا منزلا تفرقوا في الشعاب والأودية فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن تفرقكم في هذه الشعاب والأودية إنما ذلك من الشيطان فلم ينزل بعد ذلك منزلا إلا انضم بعضهم إلى بعض حتى يقال لو بسط عليهم ثوب لعمهم. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and Ibn Hibban, and it's authentic, where Abi Sa'laba Al-Khushani radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the people, when they used to stop to take a place as residents when they were on their journeys, that they would separate themselves off into groups. Some would go to this part of the valley and some to that part and like that. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed your separation into groups off like that to the side, that is only from shaytan. He went on to say, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that we never stopped at a place to make as our temporary place of residence, except that we would get very close together. So much so that it would be said, if you put one thawb over top of all of them, it would cover all of them. So here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded his companions that whenever they sat, to sit close together so as to be a jama'ah, to keep the shaytan off, to subdue the shaytan. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us to be a jama'ah so as to fight off shaytan, to keep the shaytan from working at us. I don't know how much time we have, if we should continue or... The Shaykh hafadahullah, going on to show the means of subduing shaytan, as he began with sincerity and then with the jama'ah in the salat and the jama'ah in our gatherings and the jama'ah when we're traveling. Here the Shaykh hafadahullah goes on to show us when should we seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan, as this is one of the ways to keep off the shaytan, by seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaytan, by saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. This is the saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say, so as to keep the shaytan off by seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaytan. This seeking refuge in Allah from the shaytan, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say, seek this refuge in Allah from the shaytan at many different times. And among them is before reading the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 98, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. That whenever you want to read the Quran, seek refuge in Allah from the cursed shaytan. Whenever you want to read the Quran, seek refuge in Allah from the cursed shaytan. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us the mannerisms of reading the book of Allah, the speech of Allah, which is not created, is to seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from the shaytan before we read the book of Allah. So this is among the times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to seek refuge in Him from the shaytan. Also among the times when we were taught to seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan is if someone is trying to put magic on us, or sorcery, or whatever they call it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the surah that we heard in Salatul Maghrib, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Suratul Falaq is teaching us to seek refuge in Allah from the magic that those women used to try to put on people by making knots and ropes and blowing on them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read Suratul Falaq as a protection from the shaytan, or from a protection of the magic that people try to put, or the spells that people try to put on one another. Also among the times when we were taught to seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan is when we come in the masjid. And I'm glad that this issue came up again, because it needs to be addressed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to remind ourselves, as He says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, because a reminder benefits the believers. Among the times to seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan is when we enter into the masjid. And this is the etiquette that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us when we enter the masjid, as on the authority of Abdullah ابن عمر ابن العاص عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان إذا دخل المسجد قال أعوذ بالله العظيم وبوجهه الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم. قال فإذا قلت ذلك قال الشيطان حفظ مني سائر اليوم. And this is collected by Abu Dawood in its authentic hadith, where Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he entered into a masjid, he would say, I seek refuge in Allah al-Azim. And in his noble or distinguished faith, and from his old authority, if that's proper translation, with Sultanihi al-Qadim, from the Shaytan al-Rajim. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came into the masjid, he used to seek refuge in Allah from the cursed Shaytan. And this is the etiquette that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us when we entered into the masjid. As we were mentioning before, that it isn't from among the etiquettes of entering into the masjid and leaving the masjid to say assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum.
What do you mean like that? I'm asking, you mean like that? When you come in the door to say assalamu alaikum.
From the etiquette of entering into the masjid is to seek refuge in Allah from the curse, shaitan, and then the other narrations that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us, as we can find in the authentic supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what we should say and do when we come into the masjid. And this is among the things we should do, and not from the etiquettes of entering and exiting the masjid is giving the salam. Rather, entering and exiting a normal gathering, from the etiquettes of entering a normal gathering, is when you enter it to give the salam, and when you leave to give the salam, and not one of the other has more right than the other. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in an authentic hadith. So brothers and sisters in Islam, let's try to purchase or borrow the authentic supplications, or to go to the brothers who can help us to learn the dua for entering and exiting the masjid, so that we can know how to enter and exit the masjid on the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we don't be among the people who say we're calling you to the sunnah, and we're the last people to practice the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we're the first people to point the finger at such and such isn't on the sunnah. Such and such isn't on the sunnah, or such and such a masjid isn't on the sunnah, but we're on the sunnah, inshallah ta'ala, except in our practices. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us in his sunnah how to be on his sunnah, and from his sunnah is to seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan when we enter into the masjid, and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties when we exit the masjid. Of course, exiting it as the brother Abdul Haq exited it with his left foot, and entering it to the masjid with our right foot. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith taught us a time from among the times to seek refuge in Allah from the curse of shaitan. Also among the times is when shaitan whispers to us in our salah, we should seek refuge from Allah from the shaitan. As Abi al-Ala, an Abi al-Ala, anna Uthman ibn Abi al-Aas, أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إن الشيطان قعد بيني وبين صلاتي وقراءتي يلبسها علي فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذاك شيطان يقال له خنزب فإذا أحسسته فتعوذ بالله منه وادخل على يسارك ثلاثا قال فقلت ذلك فأذهبه الله عني. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow the sunnah to spread among the people the way it used to spread during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not encouraging the people to beat one another down with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but just to inform the believers of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps that person to be able to practice a particular sunnah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy and his success and his guidance, has allowed you to protect, to practice a particular sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here Uthman Abu al-Ala said that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, and this is Uthman ibn Abi al-As, he said that shaitan is between me, sitting between me and my salah, and me and my recitation of the Quran. He's confusing me. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were mentioning before, and this is also a proof to show that shaitan, among the ways, among his footsteps, is to make things confusing. Here he was confusing the brother in his salah, confusing him in his recitation of the Quran, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that shaitan, and it said that he is khinzab. That shaitan that came that sits between a person and his recitation, he is khinzir. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anyone senses him, then he should seek refuge in Allah from him. And then he should go on his left side three times, or whatever they call that in English. Huh? I don't want to say spit on the left side three times, because that's not the word. It's not actually spitting. It's just like that. On the left side. And then he said, Uthman ibn Abil Aas, he said, after I did that, Allah removed from me that which had come to me, referring to the shaitan, making him confused in his salat and in his recitation. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us to seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan if he comes to us in our salat and make us confused as to what we said or in our recitation, that if any one of us finds this in his salat that he's being distracted, then it's from the shaitan and he should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. And then do that on his left side three times. Also, among the times we should seek refuge from Allah, in Allah, from the shaitan, is when we get angry. And I think I'll let this be the last one, inshallah ta'ala, before the adhan. And that is, عن سليمان ابن طرق قال كنت جالسا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ورجلان يستبان فأحدهما احمر وجهه وانتفخت أوداجه فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إني لأعلم كلمة لو قالها ذهب عنه ما يجد لو قال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان ذهب عنه ما يجد فقالوا له إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعوذ بالله من الشيطان فقال He was telling one on to say, after one of them had got very angry because of the both of them insulting one another, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed I know a word. If someone was to say it, it will remove from him that which he finds himself in. If he had said, I seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan, that would have removed from him that which he had in himself. They said, indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَعَوَّذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ I command you to seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan. فَقَالَ وَهَلْ بِي جُنُونَ And then he said, do I look like I'm crazy? So here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us to seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan when we get angry. Or if shaitan is causing hatred and enmity between us, we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan, just as Allah tells us in verse 200 from Surah Al-A'raf, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ That if shaitan incite or instigate something between you, then seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, Allah is Sami' Alim. Indeed, Allah is the hearer, the all-knower. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that if shaitan gets the best of us and causes us to be angry with one another, then we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. But I'll remind, as I like to, and that is that if someone is angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what makes him angry is because someone was disobedient to Allah or disobedient to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that isn't the anger that Allah or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, teaching us, commanding us to seek refuge in Allah from. But that anger is a part of the anger that perfects one's iman, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm not speaking the hadith. Can anyone remind me of that hadith? where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, which this is the English meaning of the hadith, to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah and to give for the sake of Allah and to prevent for the sake of Allah is to complete or to perfect one's iman. من جزاك الله خير من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل إيمان. And جزاك الله خير from our Sheikh Abdul Muqeed for reminding me of the hadith that I forgot. And that is the statement that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, whoever loves for Allah's sake and hates for His sake, gives for His sake and prevents for His sake has completed his iman. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to bless us, to have among us those people who memorize the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they can remind us of it, so that we can be more obedient to our Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching us the different times when we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan, because this is one of the ways that we can subdue the shaitan, and that is before we read the Quran and at the time we feel someone is trying to put some magic on us, or entering into the masjid, or when shaitan whispers to us in our salat, or when we get angry with one another. This is what we wanted to present today. And if there was anything good, then it's from Allah. And if there was anything incorrect, then it's from me, and I seek Allah's forgiveness. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.